You are listening to the Riverfront Church Podcast, a place to explore faith, history, ideas, and more.
Hey friends, welcome to the Riverfront Church 505 Podcast. I am Pastor Chelsea, and I am joined today by Pastor Edwin and Pastor Anna, and our own local rabbi, Rabbi Michael Beals. We are just so excited to have you on today. Rabbi, we are all in this time of celebration and in this time of holidays, this time of tradition, and we know that that looks really different for each of our congregations due to COVID, and just want to see how you are doing, how your congregation is doing. How are you celebrating this year?
So the irony is, first of all, it's great to be with all of you, and I wish I could be giving you hugs right now. So these are virtual, safe COVID-19 free hugs. And to everybody listening,
big hugs. Still warm, still warm. That's good. Waffles.
Okay, thank you.
Good hugs. You're such a good hugger.
Hibu kime neshakot is Hebrew for hugs and kisses. All right, so ironically, Chelsea and everybody else, our numbers are all up. I can't believe we have morning worship every morning. We call it morning minyan. Minyan means 10. And normally, we need 10 in order to say the prayer for the dead, for our loved ones and their people who might be in their year of mourning or in an anniversary of a mourning, of a death. And so we need 10 Jewish adults over the age of 13. And sometimes I'm looking at my watch and I don't know, no problem. Start 7, they're there before I am. They start before I do. Rabbi, catch up. So the numbers are all up, and Sabbath, Shabbat, Friday night, Saturday, all up. And here's something interesting, since we're the holiday coming up for us is Hanukkah. And how do you spell Hanukkah? Ket, Nun, Vav, Kaf, Hey. It's for several Hebrew letters, which could be with a CH if you want to get that effect. But if people say Chanukah, I'd rather them say Hanukkah and not guttural their H, because Chanukah sounds so stupid. So Hanukkah, however you spell it, starts tomorrow. That is Thursday evening. That is the 10th at sundown, and goes for 8 days. So the last day will be next Friday at sundown. It ends 8 nights for 8 days. And we have never done this before, but some clever layperson came up with the idea of doing a communal Hanukkah menorah lighting every night. And every night we're going to feature a different segment of the congregation lighting their Hanukkah menorah with a little bit of their own family or tradition, or the men's club, or the sisterhood, or the gift shop, or the Hebrew school. So I'm this Saturday night, and I'm doing it at 7 o'clock. And if you go to www.bethshalomwilmington.org, you can catch me, and I'm going to tell a cute story, and I can play the guitar, and I'm charming, usual. So we're trying to make it really fun, but I'm telling you, had COVID-19 not happened, we wouldn't be thinking out of the box. And Hanukkah is normally a family celebration, not something you'd expect to do in the synagogue. We do have services that get tweaked for Hanukkah, but it's not like, oh, let's go for Hanukkah services. It's not a Christmas experience. But we're taking what would be a home experience, and through Zoom, we're Zooming in everybody's home. So we've really leveraged this whole horrible experience of COVID-19. And so we like to call it physical separation, not social separation. So that's a long-winded answer, which is typical of a rabbi to give you.
Well,
fine.
Well, actually, I want to pick up on that point, Rabbi. So at Riverfront, we have very lively discussions around Advent and Christmas, and I won't go into the details of how lively they are. But one thing we were talking about today is sort of the beginnings of Christmas. We know that in the early church, Christmas actually wasn't that big of a deal. In fact, worldwide, that's still the case. Easter is by far the biggest, and Holy Week is the biggest celebration for Christians worldwide. But in North America, Christmas over time has certainly come to eclipse to eclipse Easter in all sorts of ways, both for preparation for Christmas and you know, the music and et cetera, et cetera. So I think partly there's been a response to that with, you know, Advent, which is something we want to talk about. And we do want to kind of give the basics of that, so our listeners can get a sense of, well, what do we mean when we say that? And so similarly, for Hanukkah, can you give us a basis for those who might have all sorts of ideas? I had the privilege of having Jewish teachers growing up. I got to taste all sorts of foods and have all sorts of celebrations. But you know, what's a basics of Hanukkah? 101, Hanukkah 101.
They tried to kill us, we survived, let's eat. I'll expand.
But, wow, you know, well done. Well done.
Thank you. I'm a rabbi.
You need that. To teach Edwin those summary skills.
That yeah, was, I that do was not great. Have those.
Okay, I'll do my best. So first of all, it is not Jewish Christmas. So let's get that off the table. It's a Jewish Christmas. No. I will say that like Christmas, it's about putting light in dark places. It's called a festival of lights. So I think that's something Christmas and Easter really do, Christmas and Hanukkah do very well. I would say it was never about getting gifts, it was about giving gifts. If it's the little baby in the manger for Christmas, and the Torah reading that we do for each day of Hanukkah is from the book of Numbers. I think it's chapter 8, but I can check. But it's about the part where each of the chieftains, not that cool Irish band, but the original chieftains, the head of the tribes, each brought enormous amounts of gifts to dedicate the tabernacle, which was the first central located place for worship in Western religion, right during the 40 years of wandering in the desert between Egypt and the Holy Land. So that's our reading. So they each brought gifts, but it wasn't about getting gifts. So I think that's another narrative that a good rabbi and a priest minister would bring to the, it wasn't about getting, it was about giving. Different things, little baby Jesus for you and the tabernacle for dedication for us. And Hanukkah means dedication or rededication. And so there's a link between the original tabernacle from the time of Moses and the rededication of the second temple in 165 BCE. Now, we don't tell time by Jesus. He's very nice, he's a good rabbi, but we don't tell time by him. So Christian would say BC before Christ and AD, Anno Domini, the year of our Lord. Jews would say BCE before the Common Era, zero, and then Common Era. Okay, so okay, now, so that's all the basics. Now, once, so, So Alexander the Great, amazing leader of Greek Empire, Hellenism, and it enveloped the whole Holy Land area as well. He was 300. After that, Hellenism began to really creep into every part of culture. Think about how Christmas is done, at least in North America today. That's like Hellenism back in the Middle East. And by 160s before the Common Era, Judea, which is today Israel, Judea really had three schisms. Jews, always three Jews, five opinions. There were those that make me Hellenist right now. And they wanted to make Jerusalem a polis, P-O-L-I-S, a Greek city state with the hippodrome and all the things that come with it. They loved it. So that was a big part of the population. But then you had a much smaller part of the population that were the zealots, give me holy rollers. And they didn't want my old time religion. And they didn't want any of that Hellenism with the paganism and the showing too much skin and the WWE naked, none of that. Poetry maybe, but okay. And then you have people in the middle which said, I kind of want to do a hybrid. I want a bit of both. And that's the scene right before Hanukkah. And the Greek, the Greco-Syrian, so Greece fell apart after Alexander died, and you end up with a European Greece entity. You have Ptolemy in Egypt, and then you have the Seleucids in Syria. And Judea's right in the middle between between the Seleucids in Syria and the Ptolemy in Egypt. And push me, pull you, and it's right on a trade route. So Judea keeps changing hands, and the Jews go, okay, just pay your taxes. So as long as the Judeans pay their taxes, they could practice Judaism to the one and only God, and fine. there was a king named King Antiochus IV or Antiochus IV, and he changed the rules. By the way, we don't have the story in the Hebrew canon. We won't know this story. We end in Second Chronicles. We don't have them in the Protestant New Testament. That begins where it begins. We have it, thank you, Catholics. It's in the Catholic version of the Bible, which includes the Apocrypha. And in the Apocrypha, we have 1st and 2nd Maccabees. So if it wasn't for the Catholics, Jews would just be sitting in the dark. It's like a punchline to a Jewish joke. How many Jewish mothers does it take to screw in a light bulb? None, I'll sit in the dark. So we would have been sitting in the dark if it wasn't for our Catholic friends. So I just wanna throw that out there, hurrah for Catholics. So we have this story about Maccabees 1 and 2. And basically what happened was Antiochus IV said to the Judeans, you now need to worship me as a god, right? Always a problem. It's been a problem with the Christian interpretation of Jesus. We don't worship Jesus as a god. We don't worship Pharaoh as a god. We don't worship Caesar as a god. And in between all that, we didn't worship Antiochus as a god either. Men as God. We believe God is in everybody. I love the cat. God is in everybody. My wife's a veterinarian. She wants to be the first vet because Major Biden was founded the Delaware Humane Association. And yay, cats, yay. That was a plug for my wife. And okay, moving right along. So anyway, ADD, back, squirrel. So I'm back. So at any rate, Antiochus IV said, you've got to worship me as a god. And you can't practice circumcision, Brit Milah. And you can't keep kosher. And your kids can't go to Hebrew school or Sunday school anymore. None of it. Got to forget that stuff. And a lot of Jews said, okay. But there was there's a guy named Mattathias, Matatiyahu in Hebrew. And he said, no way, Jose. I'm not doing, we practice Judaism. And he had 5 sons, Eliezer, Jonathan, John, Simon, and Judah, Maccabee. And Maccabee means hammer. And what they did was they went ahead, they couldn't take on the whole Greco-Syrian army, too big. So they would do the hammer blows and come in and out really fast. So that's where you get the word Maccabee from. That's kind of the violent side of the story. The non-violent civil disobedience side of the story is the dreidel. When you ask most Jews about the dreidel, the top, the sevivon in Hebrew, they tell you how to play the game, which is very nice. We could tell you how to play the game, but they miss the point. Why are we even doing this? They don't know. It's like the Catholic Church before Vatican II. We don't know. We're just saying it. We don't know. So the reason why we have the dreidel, which is really important, before Gandhi, before Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., there were the Jews in the dreidel. So I want you to get this part of the story. The soldiers, the Greco-Syrian soldiers would come around and say, are you Jews practicing your religion? Are you studying? No, we're not studying. We're playing dreidel. And so the soldiers would report back to King Antiochus, oh, those Jews are good for nothing. All they do is gamble all day with their M&Ms or Hershey Kisses, whatever they're using, or shekels at the time. And then as soon as the soldiers left, the dreidel is just a decoy. They put the dreidels away and brought the scrolls. They weren't books back then, because before the printing, Gutenberg will be later. So they would bring out the scrolls and start studying Bible and scripture again. It was so important to them. They were willing to put their lives on the line not to assimilate. And the way they didn't assimilate was to go and hold onto their texts and to hold onto their study. I just like to bring that part up in the story because it gets short shrift and it's eclipsed with the Hanukkah menorah, which is worth talking about. So fast forward 3 years later, after the battles are over, so it wasn't a one-shot deal, this took time, and the Maccabees finally won. A lot of the population was brought over to the side of religion, and they were assimilating out, so this brought them back in again, and it was time to rededicate the Holy Temple in Jerusalem. And when they got there, you know, they had pagan worship going on, and they had they're worshiping pigs on the altar. It was great. So they're cleaning up, rededicating the temple, the second temple. And they had something called a Ner Tamid, an eternal light, which symbolized God's ongoing presence that was in the temple. I think it wasn't like a synagogue today where they have a little light above the ark, which has the Torah inside it, if you've been inside of a synagogue. I think it was a menorah, not an 8-branch one for Hanukkah, but a 7-branch one, which is a symbol for the state of Israel. Also over the Ark of Titus in Rome, which shows the Jewish people in exile, right? And that's the symbol of Israel. That's a 7-branch for 7 days of the week. I think that's what they lit, right? That makes more sense to me. And there's only enough oil to power that thing for one day. And so they put faith on the line. They lit it anyways. They sent a courier 4 days out to get the consecrated oil, 4 days back to bring it back and light. And the oil that should have lasted for one night lasted for 8 nights. And so we light for 8 nights, 8 days and 8 nights of Hanukkah. And there's a lot of food that we have that's based on oil-based food, which isn't good for your cholesterol, but if it's just 8 days. So in northern countries, like in Europe, et cetera, they would have latkes made out of potatoes, or my wife likes to do root vegetables like carrots and rutabagas and whatever. But potatoes is really common, either with applesauce and sour cream or with sugar, depending on where in the old world you come from. And then in North African countries, they would do beignets. So if you saw the Frog Prince, right, that's what she was good at making in New Orleans, right? Like beignets. So that's what they would eat instead.
And Café du Monde.
Yes, yes. Or jelly-filled donuts from Dunkin' Donuts if you can't get anything else. So that's kind of the food. Those are the foods that we eat. And there is gift giving. But, you know, my Christian friends were always jealous. But, oh, look how you got 8 days of gifts. We only got one day for Christmas. I said, no, blah, blah, blah. For me, it was like, for 7 days, I would get another crayon. And on the 8th day, my mom and dad would give me the box. And normally, right, Jews got like underwear and socks and nothing to lose sleep over. Yeah. There's that. We have songs, not as good as Christmas songs, but most of the core Christmas songs were written by Jews anyways, who probably had Christmas envy. Not the religious ones, except for It Came Upon a Midnight. That's Felix Mendelssohn. He's a grandson of Moses Mendelssohn, who's the founder of Reformed Judaism from Germany. Other than that, the religious stuff we'll give to the Christians. All the fun stuff that are in the malls, that's all Jews. but they don't tell you that. One more thing, if you want to do Judaism 200, like the higher level, that 8 days of Hanukkah, I'm very suspicious about. Because in the biblical days, the holy day that people really loved was Sukkot, the Feast of Tabernacles, or the Harvest Holiday. That was called in the Bible, He-Chag, the ultimate pilgrimage holiday. That was like, everybody loved it. And there was, at night, there were flame festivals, and there was lighting the fires, and there was they had water libations to clean the altar after the sacrifices during the day. That was the holiday. And they couldn't do that at the temple during the time that the Greek Syrians were there. So when the Maccabees were establishing themselves, now the Hasmoneans, as the new leadership, you know how we have the 4th of July as a day? It really gives kind of validity to the founding fathers and mothers of this country. I think that's what the Hasmoneans were doing as well. And they went ahead and pivoted on the darkest day of the year, which is the 25th day of Kislev in the Hebrew calendar. We're not always aligned exactly with the solar calendar because there's a deviation, but this is the darkest time of the year. So on the 25th, doesn't that sound familiar, guys? Kislev, we have this 8-day holiday. I think they were importing the 7 days of Sukkot plus Shmini Atzeret, the 8th day of gathering, 8 days, and importing it out of fall and into winter, taking credit for it and making it a festive holiday. So this whole oil business and how the miracle, it comes later. It's in the Talmud, and it's about, oh my goodness, it's probably hundreds of years after this original Hanukkah story took place. In the Maccabee story, God isn't mentioned. It's all about what we Maccabees did, what we did, men did to make this happen. And the rabbis were really upset because those Hasmoneans in time will invite Pompey in to settle an internal dispute within who should be the next high priest. And Rome was like a bad mother-in-law joke. They came and they wouldn't leave. So yeah. Rome came in, and the same Rome that crucified Jesus, they went ahead and they crucified a lot of Jews and tore their skin off and did all sorts of disgusting things. The rabbis blamed the Hasmoneans for what happened. So the last thing they wanted to do was give credence to this group of people. So rather than talking about the original miracle, which was the few that went against the many, they went ahead and started telling this story about how the oil lasted for 8 days instead of one. And what we've done today is we've fused everything together into one. It's an important holiday, but for Jewish people, Hanukkah won't stand on its own. It needs weekly observance of the Sabbath. It needs Passover. It needs Shavuot, Pentecost. It needs Sukkot, Feast of Tabernacles. We need all of it. And then Hanukkah blends in beautifully for another holiday for a month. A lot of Jews have assimilated, who go back to the original story. They're the ones who wanted to become Greek. they think that Hanukkah will keep their kids and grandkids Jewish. It won't do it all by itself. Mm. Hanukkah lighting, by the way, is one of the last things to go when Jewish people assimilate, even in interfaith families. That and a Passover Seder, the two last things that will go Sabbath out, kosher out, anything, they'll keep Hanukkah lighting. It's a pretty simple thing to do. There's only two blessings involved, three on the first night. It's doable. That's the best I can do, guys. Hanukkah.
Well, that is a lot of information, and it's really beautiful. We are mindful of your time that you have to go, and we know we want to continue this because I think there's a lot. I think there's a lot of similarities, again, for all of us to be able to look at the things that our cultures value and also the challenge of assimilation for, you know, immigrant groups. You know, that's something my family went through. I've mentioned to Pastor Chelsea and Pastor Emma about, you know, the Christmas gift and the Christmas 12 days of Christmas being about the little gifts that you just mentioned and the big gift being on Epiphany or Three Kings Day. And so there's so many cultural pieces here, but there's always the tension of assimilation as well. And kind of the story of exile. And I mean, there's just so many beautiful things to pick up on there. So I don't know if Pastor Chelsea or Pastor Emma have any final thoughts or final questions before we let you take to, you know, get to where you need to go.
Yeah, I just have one quick one. I wonder, we're just so grateful for the work that you and Beshalom are doing. And I wonder if you would just talk quickly about the event that's happening on the 15th that you are inviting others to join you in.
Oh, Chelsea, thank you so much. Yeah, so I think the best place to go is probably our website, but there's other places you can go for it, but www.BethShalomWilmington.org. That's www.BethShalomWilmington.org. And on our Facebook, December 15th, there'll be a little icon you can click. So basically, the point of Hanukkah, in large part, is to put light in dark places. And one of the dark places, not only during COVID-19, but always is people experiencing homelessness. I use that language carefully. I don't like saying homeless people. People are not born homeless, just like there's not such a thing as an illegal alien. Aliens is I used to play Space Invaders. That's, people are not illegal aliens. People might be undocumented residents. That's different. If you call people a certain thing, then you're defining them and pigeonhole. So for people experiencing homelessness, Matt Meyer, who's our Newcastle County executive, and also a member of my congregation, went to our Hebrew school. He tries to live out the best of his Jewish values in how he serves as county executive. So with the blessing of the council, they bought a hotel that was going under along I-95, and they decided to make it a place of respect and decency for temporarily for people experiencing homelessness to help them transition out. And so on December 15th, all the rabbis in Delaware and cantors called Derech, which means the path, but it's the Delaware Association of Rabbis and Cantors, are hosting a Hanukkah event, which will culminate in the lighting of candles and singing of songs, but it's gonna feature what has been done in terms of partnership between the county and NGOs within our county to help move people along. And for Pastors Chelsea, Emma, and Edwin, this is interesting piece where they're thinking about giving out spiritual vouchers so that when they're helping people get food and get utilities and get maybe professional career counseling and clothing for the interview, that, you know, it doesn't matter in the person's religious belief, people are feeling spiritually down could use a lift. So for those people that don't mind speaking cross-denominationally and just helping to fill people's spirits up, Matt came up with this idea of a spiritual voucher as well. So I think it's gonna be very exciting. People who come will have an opportunity to take a website down and then get their name on a list and then get plugged in so that during this time of volunteerism, be it Hanukkah or Kwanzaa or Christmas, people wanna do something to help others, they'll be able to plug in. I think it'll be very exciting, and it combines the best with religion and social action. So I'll leave you with a wonderful quote for Abraham Joshua Heschel, a great rabbi who taught at my seminary and who marched with Dr. Martin Luther King back in the 60s. And when asked about his experience about marching over the Pettus Bridge and facing potential violence, he said, "I thought my legs were praying," which is really cool, the idea of taking our liturgy and our prayerfulness, and actually putting it into action to benefit others. So I'll leave you with that. And actually, I'm only running now to help. So I'll tell you where I'm going. It's so interesting. So I know a African-American man who's Jewish. He is second generation Jewish, is a third generation. I think his grandma converted, and he wants to play basketball for the state of Israel as a Jew. But the houses of worship of which he prayed in aren't recognized by the state of Israel, which is a bummer. So I told him, I embrace your Judaism, but I sniffed out a little bit, maybe institutional racism there. So I said, let's help out. Let's give you documentation right now on your own, which includes, you could be born Jewish, you could convert. We're not evangelical, but if you want to convert, you can. You study, and then you, if you're a man, if you've had a circumcision, hurrah. If not, I'll be very delicate. They do a quick pinprick. I won't describe it anymore. Women, of course, don't do that. And then we go to a ritual bath called a mikvah, which is where baptism comes from, I'm sure. But this is immersive and naked. So that's in Wynwood, Pennsylvania. And I have to be there in 45 minutes in order to meet everybody else to make this happen. And then he's off to Israel to play basketball. So I'm helping him out, and he's creating nice bridges between the Jewish and African-American community, which I'm all about. And I'm trying to be helpful. But if he's waiting there in the cold, then I won't be helpful at all. So yes. I'll run. Merry Christmas. If anybody's Jewish, happy Hanukkah, happy Kwanzaa. God bless the cat, adopt a pet, they need it, but only adopt them if you're going to be able to keep and love them after COVID-19 is over.
Yes, yes.
Delaware Humane Association, my wife is there. Ask for Dr. Green, doctor, director of veterinary medicine, and say the rabbi sent you.
Thank you so much, Rabbi. I appreciate your time.
Shalom.
Shalom.
Friends, we are so glad that you were able to join us for this podcast episode. And we know that it had so much in it and so much that we want to continue to discuss, So we hope that you will continue to tune in and join us on our Facebook page and on our website to have your ears and eyes and hearts open to the ways in which you can bring light into the world this Advent season, as you celebrate whatever it is that you are celebrating. Friends, we are thankful for conversations and for neighbors who are doing good work. Thanks so much for joining us, and we'll see you next time, but mostly you'll hear us. Hope to see you on Facebook and Zoom soon. Thanks.
Bye, y'all.
Bye.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the Riverfront Church Podcast. You can connect with us online at riverfrontwilmo.com or on Facebook. Just search for Riverfront Church in Wilmington, Delaware. May God meet you where you are and lead you where you are meant to go.